Hello, my wonderful friends, wherever you are. My name is Dr. Linda Price, and I am the Little Old Lady Professor. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that is incredibly important, but it's kind of like that elephant in the living room. It's the topic that nobody ever talks about. And that's why the title of Episode 7 is Listen, Listen, Listen. It's funny because even right now you're doing the behavior that we're going to be talking about in this podcast today. You're listening to the sound of my voice, and you do that probably hundreds of times every day, but nobody ever gives you a class on listening. Nobody ever sits you down and gives you a test and says, okay, what are your listening skills like today? And so consequently, you never get all of the benefits that you could get from this amazing skill. And this is especially important for people that have learning disabilities and dyslexia. So today, put on your headphones, sit down, get a comfortable place where you could sit, because we're going to talk about listening. The definition of listening is actually incredibly simple. Listening is receiving language through your ears. Hello. If you looked at the picture on the blog, you saw one of my favorite pictures of a big old hound dog with big old ears, and everybody's got ears, so everybody is listening all the time. This seems like an incredibly simple thing that, you know, we don't even really aren't even conscious of. And yet it's just like reading. It's just like communication. It's an incredibly complex neurological process. And again, all this information is talked about further in the blog. There's lots and lots of good stuff on the blog for you this week, guys. When we talk about how complicated listening is, we're talking about receiving signals. Literally, you, like right now, you are hearing the auditory signals. You're hearing them through your headphones or through your ears. They're going into your brain. Your brain then turns that into language. And then from that language, it's identified as speech sounds, various individual sounds. And then it's also identified as phrases. And so those sounds are processed, and they're processed into words, into sentences, and into phrases. So for example, if your primary language is Spanish, and I'm speaking Spanish to you, you're hearing Spanish sounds and Spanish symbols and Spanish phrases and words. If you speak English, like I do, and I'm speaking to you in English, you're hearing what we call phonemes, which are the basic sounds of the English language. You're hearing those are going into your head, bingo bangle, those turn into sounds, and then you understand what I'm saying. And you can either respond to that, or you can do what you're doing right now, which is just listening. What's amazing is that so many people get frustrated because they don't feel like they're hearing right, or people around them get frustrated, but they don't know what the benefits are of effective listening. How many times, and you could probably count this on one hand right now, how many times has somebody said to you, "Are you paying attention to me? Did you hear what I just said? Wait a minute, stop that. Listen to me. I'm trying to talk to you." You hear that all the time. You may even say that to other people around you. And yet, if you have effective listening skills, these are some of the benefits that you're going to get. You'll definitely be able to communicate more clearly with others. If you're able to communicate with other people, it'll facilitate trust. It helps you, obviously, to have your conversations be more easily understood and more accurate. It helps you when you're solving problems, you're finding out new information. One of the interesting things to me about listening is that you pick up critical information that you need earlier. So maybe at work, if somebody gives you a piece of feedback, which we'll talk about in the next podcast, and you hear that accurately, you've got that information, you're able to work on it. Or maybe you heard a piece of gossip at work where everybody's going to get a raise. Guess what? That's an important piece of information. Maybe you're in class and somebody leans over and says, "Hey, did you know that we're going to have a pop quiz next week?" That's important information. So you pick that information up ahead of time.
Obviously, you're building connections with people, and you know, it helps you overall to become a better employee, a better student, and it definitely helps you in your personal life. Did you know that the number one reason why people get divorced is because they can't communicate and they don't listen to each other? Hello, if you want to be in a personal relationship that's satisfying, if you want to have a strong marriage, if you want to have a good relationship with a significant other or with your kids or your family, you need to learn to listen. At this point, I'm going to stop. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about listening in further depth. Okay, we've talked a little bit about the what listening is and what the benefits are. And now let me give you some very specific examples. And by the way, there are more scenarios on the blog, and there's also a whole big section which is about how learning disabilities and dyslexia specifically apply to various listening skills and can in some ways kind of help maybe scramble the messages when you're trying to hear somebody and listen to them. So, first of all, let's talk about listening in terms of school. Allison has always had problems with math, but now she's really struggling with her geometry class. She faithfully turns in her daily assignments, but, you know, there's always at least a couple problems wrong on every paper. She finally decides, she's so frustrated, she goes to meet with her teacher after class, and her teacher tells her, "You always seem to be missing something, or you're confusing the steps when we're working on geometry problems. Do you bother to listen to my instructions at all?" Allison becomes even more frustrated, and she starts to cry and walks away. Again, this is an example of ineffective listening. She may be incredibly motivated in her geometry class, but for some reason, she's not able to listen and to hear exactly what she needs to hear to get that information from class and then pass her test. Let's talk about listening and the area of work. Bill works at a computer repair shop, and he works at the front desk. He takes orders, answers questions, and processes complaints. He also works with various team members and fixes equipment as it comes in. So imagine that you go to Best Buy and, you know, the Tech Squad is there, the Geek Squad, and you give them your computer, and Bill is going to be the guy behind the desk that's going to help you figure out what to do with that. His supervisor calls Bill in, and he gives him his quarterly performance evaluation. And he says, "You know, Bill, you really know computers, but I got to put you on probation. It makes me really sad, but I got to do this because you're always interrupting people. You just don't seem to be able to get along with other people. You don't remember what they say, and you're constantly interrupting people, especially at the front desk." Bill gets angry with the supervisor, and he gets so mad, he then tells him what a lousy supervisor the guy is and threatens to quit. This is another perfect example of having problems with effective listening. Because Bill isn't taking the time when he works with customers or working with his coworkers to keep his mouth shut and just to listen to what they're saying, to process what they're saying, and then respond to that, he's constantly getting into trouble at work. And because he isn't hearing everything effectively, he's always interrupting people. And because of that, it looks like he can't get along with others. Another example is somebody that needs help with listening skills. Now, this last scenario is one that I think is actually kind of fun, and see if you can relate to any of this. Jamie feels fat all of the time. She's been on various diets since she was 8 years old, and she always loses weight, but then she seems to gain it right back in a few months. She's been invited to her cousin's quinceanera party, I hope I pronounced that right, and Jamie is really excited, and she's talking to two of her girlfriends about it, and they immediately want to know what she's going to wear. She talks about the dress that her mom is making for her, and one of the girls starts laughing at Jamie, and she says, "Oh, God, Jamie, don't be silly. You know all those ruffles. They're just going to make you look like you gained 10 pounds. We need to go out and get you another dress." Jamie is so hurt by what her girlfriends are telling her that she decides to skip the party altogether. And her mother is very sad and very upset because Jamie says she doesn't want her to make the dress anymore. Now, that's another example of listening. Jamie heard only what she wanted to hear or what she was afraid she was going to hear, which is that the dress was going to make her look fat. And because of that, she basically cut her own throat. She wants to go to the party. She wants to hang out with her girlfriends. She really wants this brand new dress. But guess what? All of that is going to be gone because she only listened to part of what the girls were saying. She only heard the things that she, unfortunately, really didn't want to hear. Like I said, there's lots of other good scenarios that are on the website and some activities to do with them. I would encourage you to do that. But it's also important to remember that listening itself really does become influenced by your learning disability or your dyslexia. Now, I'm going to tell you up front here one of the things that I think is kind of sad and kind of ironic, that we do so much listening all the time, and yet I couldn't find a lot of information about the connection between listening and learning disabilities or listening and dyslexia. There's very, very, very few studies, if any, that have been done. One, by the way, which is referenced on the blog, talks about some researchers that are looking into one part of the brain called the planum temporale. I hope, again, I'm pronouncing that right. And this is the part of the brain that decodes language. And so, obviously, it's a real critical piece when we're talking about someone having a processing problem due to dyslexia. What these researchers, and again, this is only one study, and there's maybe one or two other studies that are also looking into this, but what these researchers are hypothesizing is that just like people with dyslexia have problems decoding language, decoding sounds, putting those into words, just like they have a problem with that, so written language becomes a problem, that also may become a problem when they're hearing auditory stimuli and when they're listening. Again, we don't know for sure, but it's kind of an interesting thing to think about. There's other parts, other kinds of learning disabilities that clearly, in my mind anyway, may have some connection to listening, but because there's no research, there's really little or no knowledge in this area. Again, I'm just throwing these ideas out for you to think about. For example, if you have a problem with nonverbal learning disabilities, that may also have a problem when you're trying to decode, you're trying to listen, and also look at people's nonverbal language. And remember in the podcast where we talked about communication, nonverbals and verbals often go hand in hand. People that have executive functioning problems, people that have, I think this is especially true, if you have auditory memory or auditory discrim problems, your hearing itself is going to be perfectly intact. I mean, if you would go to an audiologist and they would give you the test, you would be listening fine. The problem is that once those auditory signals get into your brain, they can get scrambled or you cannot remember them. And to me, that would also be an issue with listening. The big category, any of you that have been diagnosed with ADHD, with attention deficit disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you might want to look into the area of listening skills. And there is more information on that. There's a really wonderful quote in the blog that talks about how people that are already having problems focusing and attending may really have problems with listening because of what the author calls rapidly spoken language, trying to focus in distracting or noisy environments. And really, it seems like because attention is such an important component of listening, that if focusing is already a problem for you due to your processing, that's only going to make your listening a lot more complicated. Okay, I'm going to stop at this point. When I come back, we're going to talk about some really fun techniques and ideas that you can use to increase your own listening skills. Welcome back, my friends. Okay, let's talk about what you can do now about listening. And if you haven't figured this out already as you've been listening to the podcast and looking at the website, I want this to be fun. I want these to be things that you can do. You don't have to spend any money for this. All my activities use common household objects or things that you already have. So this is just some fun things to try to increase your listening skills. First of all, I'm going to give you one of the old tried and true ones that you may have heard about or you may not have heard about. It's called the hear strategy. And I just love this because it's so simple. And folks, it really works. It's called H as in house, E as in egg, A as in apple, R as in rat, the hear strategy. And what that anagram or what those four letters mean is halt. So if you're getting ready to listen, halt. Whatever you're doing, stop it and concentrate. Okay, how many of you are around people, and I do exactly the same thing, where we multitask all the time? Don't do that. Literally sit on your hands. Literally stop for a second, halt, and just concentrate on listening. The E is for engaging the speaker by a physical gesture. Maybe you're turning their head, you're turning your head, you're leaning forward, you're giving them eye contact. Think about it for a minute. We don't do this so much anymore because now folks buy a lot of their cars online. But imagine that you're talking with like a used car salesman, or maybe somebody that's trying to sell you a mattress, or somebody that's trying to sell you something. You're in that physical space with that person and your eyes are going all over around the room. You're not giving them eye contact. That person is going to know right away that you're not listening to them. That's like a big red flag. That's the biggest signal. Or maybe, for example, somebody is talking at you. Maybe your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your mom or your dad is chewing you out. They're just really letting you have it. They're chewing on your ass. And you would obviously, with all this stuff coming at you, you would sit back. You would maybe put your eyes down. You would want to bodily get away from that barrage of all that language, that what you're perceiving is negative language. That's another nonverbal where you're telling the person, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to listen to this. And, you know, the other thing is that how many times maybe, and I know we all do this and we're not even aware of it, maybe you're driving down the road and your kid is talking to you, or you're driving down the road and maybe your friend is in the car with you, or maybe your husband or your wife, and they're just chattering away and you are just, you may be listening with maybe a third of your brain. At the most, when you're driving, legitimately, you're trying to focus on the road. Maybe, God forbid, if you're doing this, don't even tell me, don't even talk to me about it. Maybe you're texting while you're also trying to listen to the person next to you. Again, more of that multitasking. You are not focusing on listening. And as we're saying more and more, especially if you have a learning disability or dyslexia or ADD, you need to focus. It's important to focus specifically on what people are saying. So you may not even be turning your head to even be watching their mouth move. And again, that's a signal to the other person that you're not listening. The A is for anticipating what you think the person will say. If you really listen to someone when they're talking to you, like one of the the earlier case or scenario about the girl that was in class, if you're listening really hard and really intently, your mind will be with them, and you may actually anticipate the next thing you think they're going to say. You don't have to respond to that, but again, you're anticipating. And last but not least, and this is a really cool neurological trick that I guarantee will work for you, when you hear somebody say something to you that you want to remember, replay it back in your head right away. As soon as you hear it, bang, just think about exactly what they said, even if you need to put it into your own words. For example, maybe you are getting directions from somebody to go meet them for dinner at a restaurant, and they're giving you the auditory signals, and they're saying, okay, now remember, when you get to the third stoplight, that's as far as you go. That's where you make a right. Don't go to the fourth stoplight or you'll get lost. Immediately in your head, kind of take a quick little break and think, okay, third stoplight is it. Make a right. Third stoplight is it. Make a right. Don't go to the fourth stoplight, third stoplight. If you do that, that will help imprint that information in your short-term memory, and it will make listening so much easier for you. So again, the hear strategy is halt, engage, anticipate, and replay. Now, tip number one, we're going to talk about trying really, really, really listening to what other people are saying. Not just nodding your head, not just kind of paying attention, but you're really not just multitasking, but really listening. And trick number one, under tip number one, under really listening, is the hear strategy. You can, if you want, if you're like me, the first couple times I had to write that down on a little tiny post-it note and stick it in my pocket. And then when I wanted to practice the hear strategy, then find somebody that you would normally be having a conversation with and just try those four different things while they're talking. And if you need to, you can put your little post-it note out and you could literally look at H-E-A-R. And if the person says, hey, what's that? You can explain to them what you're doing, that you're just kind of trying to work on your listening skills, or this is a new thing that you're going to do, and ask them if they don't mind if you look at the post-it note. As soon as you get done listening to what that person says, go right away, so, because it's still in your short-term memory, go right away and write down every detail that you remember. Literally every detail. Everything. Nothing is immaterial. Write everything down. Then go and find somebody else and talk to them maybe about the same topic. And maybe, you know, don't use the hear strategy. Just listen like you normally would. So the first time you use the hear strategy, the second time, same topic, you don't use the hear strategy. Again, you go back right away, sit down, write everything down that you just heard. Now compare. Compare the two things that you wrote down. You will be amazed how much more you will have remembered. And what's fun, if you want to do this with somebody else, ask them to try the same thing. Just have you be the person that's talking. They're the person that's listening. Have them use the hear strategy and then compare what you just did. It's a really fun, simple thing to do, and you're going to be amazed how much more that you may remember, that you may understand, that you didn't think about before. Again, all of the tips and tricks are described in greater depth on the blog. And what's interesting is you're not going to be using the hear strategy all the time. This is just something to kind of get you started in the effective listening process. But I'm telling you, if, for example, you need to get some very explicit directions, maybe somebody's giving you a recipe and you need to write that information down, anything where you feel like, or maybe in class you need to remember important phrases, maybe important vocabulary, using the hear strategy will help you do that. Okay, let's go to trick number two. Trick number two is mystery dialogue, and this is a real fun one, and again, it's very quick. I'd suggest you do this with a partner, but you can also do it alone. Pick a very short YouTube video, maybe a piece of a TV show you like, a piece of a familiar movie, and you and your partner will each get a pen and a piece of paper, or you can also do this on your iPad, your phone, if you just want to, you know, type it in. Turn off the sound. So you turn on the video or the piece of the movie or the TV and turn off the sound, and both of you record exactly what everybody's saying. And you'll need to look at the facial expressions and the nonverbals to kind of help you get started when you're thinking about this. Now, go back and rewind it and check on your accuracy. Play it again and see how accurate you were. And by the way, I've included a good YouTube video to get you started on this on the blog. And this is a really fun, quick thing that you can do, not only with maybe one person, but with a group of people. That's when it's really fun. Or you could do it more than once, or you can do it on different kinds of videos or TV shows or movies. But literally, take a minute to use mystery dialogue to see how much you really think everybody's saying. And then when you go back and listen, you can check on your accuracy. Tip number two, after you've worked on some really listening, tip number two is now we're going to put the rubber to the road and we're going to talk about what people are really saying to you. I use this all the time. I'm one of the worst people in the world for interrupting. That's one of the reasons I love having my own podcast, is because I can just talk and there's nobody to interrupt me. It's like totally cool. But bottom line is, those of you that are like me, especially that have problems interrupting, this is an absolutely great way to work on interrupting. And if you have, by the way, any family members or friends that drive you nuts because they're not listening to you, maybe you have a husband or a boyfriend or a spouse that is constantly interrupting you and it's driving you bananas, this is a wonderful quick tip that you can use. It's a trick that you can use to help you kind of break that cycle of interruption. What you need to do is start a brief conversation with someone, and then each person is not allowed to reply immediately. All right. Now, you can do this by yourself if you're working on your own interrupting like I have done, or you could do this with a partner and you could tell them ahead of time and say, hey, I'm going to work on not interrupting you so much, so I just need you to kind of do this quick thing with me. But basically what happens is the person's going to be talking to you and you keep your mouth shut. I mean, keep your mouth shut. And it's really hard sometimes. If you have to, imagine a stop sign in your head, a big old stop sign that comes up in front of your eyes that says, stop, don't respond. And then you have to give yourself to yourself. You have to count to yourself 1 second, 2 seconds. 1 second, 2 seconds. After you've done that, respond back to the person. The person in turn then will hear what you're saying. They will respond back to you. And then they have to say to themselves, 1 second, 2 seconds. You hear that. You then listen to what they say, because now you're being forced to listen. And then you go, 1 second, 2 seconds. There's a stop sign. And then you respond back to them. I can tell you this is going to feel really, 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 really weird, and it's going to feel very artificial at first. And you're not going to do this all the time, but what you're doing is you're forcing yourself to stop and to listen. And even if you're not someone that interrupts a lot, or the other person is not someone that interrupts a lot, I can guarantee it's going to make you become aware and more sensitive to your listening skills. And the thing that I like about the 2 second rule is that I find myself still using that. I mean, I learned that technique a number of years ago, and I still use it, especially if I'm in a stressful situation, or I'm very anxious, or I feel like I'm going to start talking or interrupting. I don't know about you, maybe you're not this kind of person, but I'm the person, when I get stressed, I talk too much. And I use the 2 second rule to force myself to, like, stop and listen. Just even seeing that stop sign in my head helps me. So that's a great thing to do. One last tip and this is because it's so important in our everyday life, is following directions. Okay, that is a huge area that many people, especially people with learning disabilities and dyslexia, constantly have problems with. Whether it's directions to meet somebody for dinner, or it's directions to maybe an assignment in class, or maybe it's directions to a new project at work. People that have learning disabilities and dyslexia frequently have problems, not all the time, but sometimes have problems following directions. So, tip number three is, are you following directions? Trick number four is what I call direction scramble. And again, really simple, quick thing that you can do that's a lot of fun. First of all, you're going to need to pick some local landmark in your community. For example, when I lived in Philadelphia, it could be the Liberty Bell. That's something everybody knows how to get to. So what you do is you pick three separate people, and you don't tell them what you're doing. You just pick three separate people. They can be strangers, they could be friends, could be family, whatever. And you ask person one how to get to the Liberty Bell. It's very simple. And you're going to write down everything that you hear. So instead of trying to listen and remember, you're going to write it down. So the first person, you say, hey, you know, I'm going to meet a friend of mine for lunch, and she said to meet at the Liberty Bell, and I'm not sure how to get there. Could you tell me how to get to the Liberty Bell? Bang, that person tells you. Then find another person. Same thing. Ask them how to get to that local landmark. And again, write down, even if it's just phrases or individual words, what you hear. Third thing, find another person, total stranger, not stranger, but someone that's totally different from the other two people. Again, how do I get to the Liberty Bell, or how do I get to this local landmark? When they tell you, write it all down. Then there's a worksheet that I prepared for you that's on the blog that you can pop it open, and you could compare the three different conversations with three different people. And check and see how good your listening skills are. Check and see how much it overlaps. And I don't have to tell you this, you know this better than me. If you're a mom with a crying toddler, if you're trying to listen to somebody talking on the subway or on the bus or in the car, maybe you're trying to get directions in an airport, maybe you're at a basketball game, maybe you're at a party, maybe you've had just a little bit too much to drink and you're trying to focus on what they're saying, maybe you're in church and you're in synagogue and you're trying to keep from falling asleep, maybe you're with somebody that you don't really like a lot and you're only listening maybe a third of what they say. All of these things in the environment will affect your listening skills. But as we know, there are ways that you can work on your listening skills. And even more than that, if you're a person with learning disabilities or dyslexia, listening is a critical tool in your toolbox. This is one of the things that will help you. It's simple, that will help you become a better employee, a better friend, a better coworker, a better spouse, a better family member. It'll just bring a lot of more positivity and a lot of more good things to your life. So, looks like we've gone over our time here for the seventh podcast. So, I'm going to tell you what I always tell you. If you enjoy these podcasts, please tell other people. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Definitely go to the website. There's all this cool stuff on there this week, guys. I can't wait for you to see it. And I'm going to leave you like I always do. I'm going to tell you that it's really important, wherever you are, whatever kind of a learning disability or dyslexia you have, to step out of those shadows. Do it today. Be the best person that you can be and go live your life. And folks, that's all we're going to talk about listening today, and I'll be talking with you next week about another important topic, but this ends the podcast on listening. Take care, and goodbye from the Little Old Lady Professor.